and in it is put into all kinds of nice, perfect, tiny little words and scripture verses of what we as Baptists believe. So on the back of your handout, I've taken from there the meaning of what we as Southern Baptists, or what we believe here in this church as Southern Baptists believe. And it reads something like this. Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Is it an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior? The believer's death to sin, the burial of an old life, and the resurrection to walk in newness of life in Jesus Christ. It is a testimony to his faith in the final resurrection of the dead. Being a church ordinance, it is a prerequisite to the privileges of church membership and to the Lord's Supper.
What?
That's a lot, you know. So what we're going to try and do is there's a bunch of scripture verses underneath there that we're going to try and break this down so we can understand what they're saying here. Okay, now this is baptism 2000, Baptist Faith 2000. What I have, one of the books that Cal gave me, was the Baptist Confession Faith of 1689, okay? Now, we're going to break this down on this, but we're going to go from here because it's just beautifully written, you know. We're in a society now where when we're texting, we can't even spell the word for, we got to put a number. Or when you talk about you, instead of saying Y-O-U in your texting, you put the letter U. So we're streamlined. Sometimes you just can't get away from well-written, eloquent words. So starting with, okay, there are a couple kinds of baptism that we believe in as Baptists. They're called Credo Baptists, which is a believer's Baptist, okay, which means a clear, believable profession of faith. A believer has to have and be able to state a clear, believable profession of faith in Jesus Christ, okay? It's a symbol of a Christian life. What we say is a person becomes saved first, okay? You believe in Christ before you have baptism. What baptism is a symbol of what you've already started, a new Christian life, okay? We believe that baptism does not save first. The regeneration has already happened. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are accepting him as Lord over all, of everything that you have, your entire life, realizing who you are compared to him, okay? He is everything, and we are sinners, and we are lost without Christ, okay? When you accept Christ as your Savior, you are dying to your old self, and you become a new person. You die to your old ways. You turn away from sin. You repent of your sins, turning away, and you walk towards a new life in Christ, risen in a new life. We're regenerated. This thing is going to come off. Okay. Now, on the other side of the coin, we have paedobaptists, which are basically a believer believes, we baptize believers and their children, okay? Now, there's a whole lot going on there that I'm just not going to go over that because this is here in this church. I'm going to go with what we as a Baptist believe. So they have points where they agree and they disagree, okay? Where they agree is that Christ commands baptism in Matthew 28, which is our Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What? Baptizing them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're going to come back to that, okay? But we agree that believers should be baptized and that Christ commanded it. Where we disagree is the mode, okay? We as Credo Baptists or Southern Baptists believe in complete immersion. Paedo Baptists believe in either a sprinkling or a pouring of the water. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. Let's move on to what this means. And I am going to open this up and say, okay, now this is from 1689, the Baptist faith of 1689. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances of positive and sovereign institution appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, the only lawgiver to be continued in his church to the end of the world. Isn't that just beautiful? I mean, it's just a start, okay? But to me, there's these guys, you know, we don't write the same. We're in a different time. They're just so eloquent. So here, when we're talking about positive and sovereign institution, these are saying things that positive here means that these ordinances are not merely implied in Scripture, okay, but definitely and positively commanded. They are explicitly laid down by Christ. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. So we read through it. It's also commanded by the apostles in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Okay, we are baptizing in one name. We don't have, this is singular. He says, in the name, not names. Okay, this is very important. This here is the one name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is an example of the triune, okay? It's right there. And It's the evidence of the Trinity, okay? So Jesus ordained this. Jesus positively commanded it. Well, Jesus was baptized, right? Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him by saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Okay. John's message, which was of repentance for Israel. Be baptized, turn away from your sins, and be baptized with water. The Messiah is coming. Okay? Israel was looking forward to the coming Messiah. Now, did Jesus need to be baptized? He was a perfect man, sinless. So why did John have to baptize him? This was a little bit hard to get my head around, okay? One of the resources I used was the Bible Knowledge Commentary with John Wolvert and Roy Zuck from the Dallas Seminary. They were faculty there. So from here on out, if I quote them, I'll call it the BKC, the Bible Knowledge Commentary, okay? What they were saying was, let it be so, this is to fulfill all righteousness, okay? This is Matthew 15. Let it be so now. This is Jesus talking. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Well, Jesus was righteous. He was sinless, okay? But Jesus had to identify with sinners, and Israel was looking for a coming Messiah who would be righteous, okay, who would bring in righteousness. So these guys say, and this is how I can understand it, if the Messiah would provide righteousness for sinners, okay, he must be identified with sinners. It was therefore the will of God for him to be baptized by John in order to be identified with these sinners, okay? Christ was righteous. It says it all over our scripture, okay? Psalm 45:7, you love righteousness, hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Isaiah 11:5, righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Romans 10:4, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes, okay? Christ was righteous and Christ was perfect. John 1:4, 19:4, and Hebrews 5:9 says, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, okay? So Christ was righteous and he did this to follow the will of God and to be able to identify with us as sinners, okay? So we can identify with Christ. And it even says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, okay? And at that moment, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him, alighting on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, and I am well pleased with. So again, Jesus came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the dove came down on his shoulder. This confirms Isaiah's prophecy to John. Isaiah's prophecy, 11:22, said, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This confirmed from John that Jesus was the Messiah. And once again, we had the Father speaking of his Son, the Son being baptized, and the Holy Spirit descending upon his shoulder. And what is that pointing to? Trinity, once again, okay? Carrying on with the 1689, baptism is an ordinance of the New Testament ordained by Jesus Christ to the person, ordained by Jesus Christ to be to the person who is baptized a sign of his fellowship with Christ in his death and resurrection, of his being engrafted into Christ, of remissions and forgiveness of sins, and of that person's giving up of himself to God through Jesus Christ to live and walk in a new life. Okay, a sign of his fellowship with Christ in his death and resurrection. Romans 6:3-5 states, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in the resurrection like his. So, I'm a little dry. Excuse me. It's a little nerve-wracking up here, guys. I'm telling you. I have a way of it going in my head, and we're not there. So I had it going one way, but I'm just bear with me. So, okay, there's symbolism here. Let's just call it what it is, okay? It's symbolism. Let's see. All of us who were baptized in Christ, right? We've turned away from our old self. We've become a new self. We are a new creation. We are regenerated, all right? So in this scripture, we are therefore buried with him. When we go down under the water, we are buried with Christ. We're dead. We've taken our sins and we've nailed them to the cross for him. He's won this battle that we struggle with. I don't care what it is, over and over and over. You could have whatever problems you're facing, finance, lust, greed, an addiction of some sort. It doesn't matter. He has won this battle for us already. And what is happening here, when you accept Christ, you are saying, I can't do this anymore. I don't have the strength. I'm not a perfect person. I have problems. I have flaws. I have struggles. Help me, Lord, okay? That's when you're professing that you are a sinner as well. You're realizing, you're recognizing we sin, and we love a perfect and holy God who cannot have sin around us, right? Around him. He can't. So we were reconciled to God by Christ and his death. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, came here, walked this earth for 33 years, had a ministry of three. Look what he did in 3 years. Willingly went to the cross for us, okay? Where we nailed our problems, we gave them over to him, died completely, was buried completely for 3 days, and rose again. So with him, I jumped on his tailcoats. I died with him because I had problems that I couldn't fix myself. And the old person is gone and buried. And when Christ rose again, when I came up out of that water, I was beginning a commitment to live a new life. I had the Holy Spirit living within me already because I accepted Christ. When I came up out of that water, I was a new person, okay? Baptism didn't make me a new person. It was a commitment I already made, but baptism is a public profession of faith, a symbol to all who knew me then and who know me now. I'm saying to you, I am not that guy anymore. I am not. I still sin. I'm a sinner, but I'm a different person than that guy was. I have Christ living within me. I have the joy and peace of a loving God who is willing to forgive me and live within me and nurture me and teach me and guide me and sanctify me. This entire journey is a sanctification process. Do we make mistakes? Do we mess up? Yes, all the time. I have a hard time even saying I can leave my house before I've already sinned in mind and thought or deed. It's hard. It's really hard. But we have the Holy Spirit living with us. We have a power that unbelievers don't. We have a joy and a peace that we can rest on, that we can build our life on. This is what that scripture is relating to, symbolizing, okay? I mean, so hear how beautiful it is, again, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ, who gave our life, our problems, take my junk, into his death, we died. That old person, gone. We were therefore buried with him through the baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, when he had that rock rolled away, walked out, God raised him. That power raised Christ. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We have that power in us. This is what this is saying. For if we have been united with him in his death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. That is good news. That is something to be excited about. That is what this is all about. When someone can wrap their head about those basic, a clear profession of faith, you start a new life. You want to be baptized. You want your mom and dad to know. You want your best friends to know. You want your church to know. I get it. I am on board with you guys. Help me live this life. This should be a party. This should be a time of great joy and excitement in our lives. Every time someone gets baptized here, this church should be here and we should have a cookout. This church should be here to congratulate a person that makes that realization and to come alongside that person and help that person grow. That's what baptism is about. Okay, my notes here. So this is all by faith, okay? The spiritual reality of this is by faith believers are baptized, not by anything that's happening during baptism. By faith we're baptized into Christ or placed into Christ. I guess I kind of jumped ahead of myself there. And therefore, we are united with Christ and identified with Christ, okay? This is a way that we can be a part of Christ. We're united and identified with him. Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. We have taken off our old self. You've had this metaphor before, you know, but My studies related it to Roman times when the Galatians were there. As a young man was coming of age, he took off his old clothes and he was given a toga that, you know, signified, I have come of age. You know, I am a man with all rights now. And that's what this is. I've left that disgusting person behind because I was ugly. I left it over there, buried it, put it in the closet. I don't ever want to see it again. And thanks to him, I'm here, this person that you know, by his grace, by his glory, the faith that he's given me. That's huge. I was an ugly person. The BKC explains it as baptized into Christ or as a living union. I loved it. That's a beautiful phrase, a living union with Christ. I mean, we always like, yeah, the living God is living within me. This is his temple. He's living in me. That's great. But I have a union with my Lord and Savior. It's alive. It's breathing. He's here. He knows me. He loves me. He saved me. Okay, so we're united with Christ. We identify with Christ. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which, according to Paul, joins all believers in Christ, unites us within the church, the church's body. So I have Christ. You have Christ. We have each other. We're Christ's body, and the body has always been the church. So that kind of was a little bit of an eye-opener for me. Hey, well put. Makes sense, right? It makes a lot of sense. Okay. Let's see. You're going to clothe yourself or a union with Christ or a living union with Christ allows us to lay aside the old garment of the law, the old person, the old garment, the old law, the old covenant. We have a new covenant in Christ. We can't fulfill that law. The only one who could is the only way that I can be saved. We lay aside the old garment of the law and put on Christ's robe of righteousness. I envision what that looks like. Am I righteous in God's eyes? Only through Christ, by his faith, by the faith he's given me and his grace. But it's like, being baptized has allowed me to be a part of, you know, you sports-minded folks, God's team, all right? I want to be on that team. I really do. And I'm grateful and thankful that I am on that team. Now, this little, you know, sports teams have their own colors with some really cool combinations. Lay your eyes on a sunset. I think if God had colors for his team, there you go. You know what I mean? Sunrise, sunset, you know, I mean, the colors would be great. So, all right. Moving on, a remission of sin, remission or forgiveness of sins. That's the next part. Couldn't ask it much more than a living union with Christ. The 1689 confession says, of his being engrafted into Christ. That's beautiful. I mean, it take me and make me a part of Christ. I love that. Engrafted into, you know, you can only think of what I know for engrafting into is something gross and skin related and, you know. But that's the only thing, you know. But anyway, all right. So for the remission of sins, Mark 1:4. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance is a turnabout or a deliberate change of mind resulting in a change of direction of thought and behavior. We think different now, don't we? We should. We should, with the Holy Spirit living within us, with Christ, a living union with Christ. We should think different. We should act different. Our behavior should reflect all that was done for us. Our behavior should be an example of who we say we are in the world. Our behavior should reflect the fact that I am a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm carrying the name of Christ. Should reflect that. And shame on me if it doesn't. Acts 22:16. Ananias talking to Paul. Remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he encountered the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and blinded him and said, okay, you're going to go this way. And he said, look for a guy named Ananias. So this is where we're at. We're picking up 22:16 and Ananias is talking with Paul. And after he explains to Paul about the Lord and after everything goes down, he says, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. This was saying to Paul. I've already quoted Paul like four times. This is what he was saying to Paul. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away. Okay? The next thing is of that person's giving up to himself to God through Jesus Christ to live and walk in newness of life. Okay, we've kind of touched on a lot of this. I'm going to give you some scriptures here. Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Okay, it's so clear all over the New Testament that we have to give up our old self and become new people. This is what salvation is. This is what baptism symbolizes. This is what a living union with Christ is. United. This is what unites me to you. We all have that. We all believe that. Those who actually profess repentance, Okay. Those who actually profess repentance towards God, faith in, and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ are the only proper subjects for this ordinance. Rightful or correct proper subjects for this ordinance. Okay, what we're saying here is those who are being baptized. Let me read you some scriptures and let's see if we can pick it out. Okay, Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. Acts 2:41. Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. Acts 8:12. But when they believed, Philip was, as he proclaimed the good news in the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts 18:18. Cyprus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul were believed and were baptized. Our common theme is, thank you, they believed, they accepted, they believed, and they believed. 1689 says, the only, those who actually profess repentance towards God, faith in, obedience to our Lord, and the only proper or correct subjects for this ordinance. They believed what they were hearing. They believed that Christ was the only way. They believed Christ died for him and for his sins or her sins. They believed that. All right. We're going to move on to the method and mode as Baptists. The outward element to be used in this ordinance is water, in which the person is to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Singular name. One name. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we use water, and the mode is immersion. Greek word, baptizo, to plunge, dip, or immerse, to hold under. No, I'm kidding. you believe. I'm sorry. All right, Mark 1:4-5. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Okay, what these scriptures are going to show that it's immersion that we believe in. And so we're out there by the Jordan River. There's enough water to be going into, to go down in, and to come up out of, okay? So Mark 1:10, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Okay, again, enough water to be immersed. John 3:23, John. Now John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because there was what? Plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized. Acts 8:36-39, as they traveled along the road, this is Philip and eunuch, and the eunuch. That was a great story. I really read that one over and over. I'm like, yeah, I wish I had that, you know, that faith of that eunuch was amazing. Okay. As they were traveling along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What could stand in the way of me being baptized? And verse 37, which is not in all translations, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, and the eunuch said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Down into the water. I always thought it was just a little puddle on a waterway. But, you know, they went down into the water. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and Philip baptized him. All right, this is symbolizing. But baptism is a symbolizing union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a theme that you can't get away from. In every bit of the scripture in the New Testament, you went down, you came up, you're being buried with Christ, okay? You died, you were buried, you were risen a new person, all right? The beauty of baptism, this is just going to wrap this up. The beauty of baptism associates the believer with the many riches found in Christ, okay? The atonement of Christ that was accomplished, redemption of sin, being saved, and the remission or forgiveness of sin. The union we have with Christ, the one I love out of this, the living union. I mean, that's what sticks in my head. That's a living union. Spiritual reunion or living union in his death, burial, and resurrection. Union with the church. Union in Christ's body, okay? The church body. And we're consecrated to God. Baptism shows that we are consecrated. We are set apart for worship and service to the God of our salvation. We are marked or sealed as belonging to God. I'm okay with that, okay? What is all this? Does all this sound familiar? You recognize you're a sinner. You recognize that you can't do anything to get close to God, and you need a Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, you recognize that he is the Lord of lords, King of all. He is the only way. You recognize it. You say, I'm a sinner, and please help me, and he dies for you. Don't tell me that he didn't know you, because he knew you before the beginning of the world was formed. He knew everything you were going to say and do. He has the numbers of your hair. He has them numbered. I'm losing them, but he knows that. Okay? You recognize who he is, and you recognize the only way to be reconciled to a holy, amazing, loving God is through Jesus Christ. You died to your old self just as Jesus died. He was buried. And we were raised again and as a new person. Okay? What does that sound like? It sounds like the gospel. Baptism symbolizes the gospel. If a person can give a clear profession of faith, they're going to give you the message of the gospel. When you recognize what the gospel is and you believe it, you're a new person, whether you know it or not. And when you recognize that, how can you not want to be making it public? I wish I could be baptized again, you know? I mean, I'd come up out of that water like someone crazy and screaming and dancing and for joy. That's what that is. That's what we want other people to know. Those who don't know this, tell them. Love them and tell them. Bring them here. We'll have a party. Okay. All right, you guys, I really appreciate you letting me speak in front of you. I love you guys dearly. If it wasn't you guys, I don't know if I could do this. So let's pray. My dear Heavenly Father, we just love you so much, and we are so thankful that you give us the word to live by. We are so thankful that you love us so much that you help us to understand how much you love us and the grace that you show us and the patience that you have with us, how our Lord and Savior could be the only one. Thank you. Thank you so much. I also lift up, you know, those who are sick and hurting in our church. You know, we are a body. We are a part of Christ's body, and we care for these people, and we keep them in prayer. And if there's anything that we can do personally, come alongside them, please put it on our hearts. Put it on our hearts and give us the words. Help us to not be shy. This is what we're here for. We're supposed to encourage and love one another. Father, thank you for this body. Thank you for the love that you show us. Thank you for our salvation. We love you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' holy name that I pray. Amen. Oh, and this is the altar call. If you feel the need to come up and pray, or you want to pray with someone, grab them. Pray by yourself. Let it happen. This is what we do. We love you guys. Lots of love. Took me a while. We that concludes our service today. Guys, thank you again so much for letting me be up here. I'm going to ask Brother Mike to close us in prayer.